Blog Talk Radio.
Much less detail, the podcast on a Saturday night, December 28th, 2013. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and it is finally here. We are upon week 17 of the NFL season. Jason, we were supposed to do this show live last night, but I was feeling a little under the weather. Now, thankfully, I'm back and feeling much, much better, and we are ready to rock and roll.
So I'm just glad you survived the night last night and were able to, you know, you sound much better. I called you last night for the show prep, and I wasn't even certain you were going to make it through the prep segment of the pre-show segment of the show. So unfortunately, we left ourselves a little bit of fudge room by attempting to do back-to-back shows. Apparently, that show on Thursday night must have just taken a lot out of you. I didn't know the strains of the half-hour shows on back-to-back nights got to you so bad. So, but it's okay. It's okay. We're ready now.
Yeah, just wipes me right out. What can I say? I'm not an entertainment professional. So here's how tonight is going to work. We're going to give you two highlight games. It's the only two real playoff games of the weekend as far as whichever team wins gets in the playoffs and whichever team loses has to slink home with their tail tucked between their legs. And being playoff games, in a way, we're going to go ahead and give them the full treatment, the whole nine yards, what we do for all of our playoff matchups. We're going to really get in-depth, give you the full breakdown, as only we can do, and give you a couple of X factors to watch out for in those games. So without further ado, let's get right to it. We will start off in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, where the NFC North title is on the line tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 as the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears renew their very long, very historic rivalry. Winner gets the division title and gets to host a playoff game next week, and the loser goes home and contemplates what might have been. And I'm going to start off talking about this matchup. Green Bay, a three-point favorite going into Chicago, a road favorite for the 7-7-1 Packers against the 8-7 Bears, and there's one reason and one reason only for that, and that's because Aaron Rodgers is back under center. Rodgers! He discount double-checked his ass back into the lineup just in time for this playoff atmosphere-type matchup. Packers did not trust Matt Flynn with the responsibility and the pressure of this very, very important game, and I don't blame them one bit for that. And so now Green Bay gets to come in with a quarterback who, the last time he played this very team, got dumped on his shoulder and had his collarbone broken. The symmetry is almost like a movie where he gets to make his big historic comeback against the team that injured him in the first place. So what steps do I think Green Bay is going to take to try to protect him this time? I really do expect a lot of shorter passes. I expect a lot of routes that are intermediate more so than long developing passes down the field. I don't think they're going to let Aaron Rodgers have too much time back there in the pocket to wind up being bounced around. And I think that's going to be advantageous to the Packers because they're playing against the defense, the Chicago Bears defense, that's just – I just don't think they're ready for prime time. I'm going to go ahead and take the Packers to cover the number, to win the game, to win the title on the road at Soldier Field. Last time they played up at Lambeau this season in week 9, Bears 27, Green Bay 20, I believe I had that one. I'm the one person in the world that picked the Bears to go in there and get the victory straight up. Now, of course, I didn't foresee them injuring Aaron Rodgers in that game, but they got the job done anyway. They did what I said they would do. And I guess I trusted and pressed. Uh-oh.
Sounds like Trustin and Trust killed Andre. So, I got one of those weird feelings that I'm on the air all by myself right now. You ever see that scene in Wayne's World when, like, Garth is sitting there by himself and he's just staring at the TV because Wayne's not around anymore? Well, this is kind of how it feels right now. I don't even know if I'm actually on the air. So we'll see if Dre gets back on here. Just completely cut out mid-sentence. He was trusting in Trust last time. Worked for him then. I think he's not trusting so much in Trust this time. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers as well. Many of the same reasons. Andre was kind of highlighting there. And again, I really might be talking to myself right now, so I do apologize. I might just be dress rehearsing for Andre trying to get back on the air. First time this has ever happened. I've just been kind of sitting here. This is live radio, by the way. So either the show is over or I'm sitting here talking to myself. But I have the Packers. I like Aaron Rodgers coming back. I think he's going to have a huge game. I do agree with Andre. It's going to be a lot of short routes, a lot of three-step drops, a lot of getting the ball out quick, a lot of Packer running game in this one. But Aaron Rodgers is fully capable, especially if they establish the run, of dropping back, faking the run, and hitting huge passes down the field on the play action, which I think they're going to be able to do here against the Bears. Not sure. There must be some. Hopefully there's not any weather down in Andre's area. I mean, there's always weather everywhere, but let's see how we're doing here. First time I've ever just had the show cut off on him. No, it's very clear down in Memphis right now. Oh, it's raining. Rain don't usually knock out the power. I hope his internet's still on. I hope he paid the bill. Oh, that would be a good idea. Make sure you keep that internet and cell phone bill paid, Andre. I have no idea what's going on right now. I have a feeling we're going to be scrubbing this one from the memory banks here sometime soon. Well, the number's still counting up on me, so I'm still connected to something right now. So I must still be on the air. I'm going to assume I'm on the air. Hello? Hey, the hell just happened?
My dumbass Bluetooth ran out of battery juice, and I ignored the warning thinking I could get through the show, and it didn't get through 2 minutes.
Well, that's great, because I don't know if I'm assuming, was I on the air the whole time?
I think you were. I have no way of knowing, but I think you were. So,
well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be awesome when you go back and you actually get to hear what I was talking about on here. I did a little bit of breakdown there, but I was checking the weather down in your area. I referenced some movies that, you know, I was kind of getting the Albert Brooks flop sweat, you know, like I'm on
In
broadcast news, you know, where I'm like, I'm on all by myself right now. What's going on?
You had the show to yourself.
I did, but not quite the way I expected to have the show by myself. I wasn't really prepared to just talk for 6 minutes almost with nothing. So, thanks.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That would have been a good April Fool's Day show. But welcome.
Yeah, I just duck out on you. Thank you.
Yeah, just cut out. See you later. I'm pulling this popsicle stand. I'm out of here.
So if you can briefly recap what part that you broke down so that we could try possibly get back to having a dialogue about this game.
Well, I agreed with you. I agree that it's going to really all come down to Aaron Rodgers, the Packers' ability to run the ball, quick passes, but what I had talked about while you were gone was their ability to hit the big play action pass down the field. And if they can establish any kind of running game, which against the Bears you would expect they would, that will allow Rodgers that freedom to really hit the home run. So I don't think that they're going to be doing five-step, seven-step drops quite often. I know Mike McCarthy says he's going to unleash the beast and let Aaron Rodgers do his usual thing. But I think it's going to be a very methodical game plan where you're going to see a lot. If you like watching football, you're going to see a lot of setups. You're going to see plays that don't look like much, but you know if you know what you're watching when you're watching football, that you know that they're really setting the defense up for something later on down the field. You cut out. I did not give my X factor, but we don't know who's each other's X factor are. We've never had the same X factor, but my X factor is going to be Randall Cobb, Packers wide receivers coming back from injury, biggest playmaker on that offense. They can use him in the running game. They can use him in the deep passing game. They can use him on kick returns. I don't know if he's going to be as healthy coming back from injured reserve from an injury himself, but if he's back and they're going to unleash him just like they're going to unleash Aaron Rodgers, this is a dimension that they've been missing. I mean, I like, you know, Jordy Nelson and those other guys. They're good receivers, but Cobb is the game breaker. He's the guy who can just break your back and make you miss. And they can utilize him as well out of the backfield, which they had done quite a bit last year and this part of the year before Cobb got hurt. And he would just come out of the backfield and just rip off huge chunks of yardage. And this is not something I'm sure the Bears are prepared for. So I'm going with my X factor, Randall Cobb.
Well, I'd certainly agree about Green Bay setting up some big plays with all of the things that they're going to be doing. You should see a lot of Eddie Lacy and James Starks counteraction going one way, coming back the other way with guards pulling. And then after they knock that out for about five or six times for 70 or 80 yards, that'll be about the time you see the play action fake and Riley Cooper streaking down the sideline for a touchdown. And then as far as my X factor goes, we came close. We're on the same side of the field with the same team, but I'm looking at the shorter passing game setting things up early on. I think they're going to put so much emphasis on Aaron Rodgers, coming out slowly and coming out with quick throws so that they can set up their protections and their blocking schemes and make sure they have all that in rhythm before they start trying the big bombs, that I think it's going to be very important for his shorter route guys to make catches and have good hands and hold on to the ball in that raw, cold weather that should be taking place down there in Soldier Field. So my X factor for the game is Rodgers starting tight end Andrew Quarles. I think it's going to be very important that he hits those 10, 15-yard intermediate routes, holds on to the football, keeps those chains moving, and sets up the Bears for later on in the game. And the one thing that I was trying to get to before I got cut off, the other main reason that I like Green Bay in this game, as big a Jay Cutler fan as I am and as big a Josh McCown sort of chuckler as I am, I don't hate the guy at all, but I do chuckle at the thought of him being a better option at starting quarterback than Jay Cutler. This is such a big spot for Jay Cutler to come up big on the big stage. It's not quite prime time, but it'll be dark and gray all day going into the evening. When the hell has Cutler come up big in that spot? When has he done that? It's very rare, unfortunately, for him. He seems to be destined to be one of those quarterbacks to go down in history as, damn, he was really good back in the day. You know, one of those guys. You know, the Jeff George comp gets thrown out a lot because of his demeanor and his attitude, kind of like George. Well, also similar to George, he has a very big arm and sometimes doesn't seem to know what to do with it. So I just think Green Bay has got the pedigree. They've gone into Soldier Field and won a playoff game before, the conference title game a few years ago, and I think they're going to wind up going in there and doing it again. And before we go on to our next pick, of course, it's time to introduce our guest picker. That's right, it's Coin. Coin has a very interesting history. We've used Coin the last 2 years. We picked every game with the Coin in Week 17 because Week 17 is usually so random that you have no idea what's going to happen. And here's Coin's numbers the last 2 years. Coin's beaten me both years. In 2011, Coin went 7-8-1. It's a Coin. You would expect it to go somewhere around 500. I could only go 5-10-1. Jason beat Coin that year by going 8-7-1. Last year, the revenge of Coin. I was determined to beat the Coin. I went 11-5. Jason went 7-9. And Coin somehow wound up going 12-4, defying all heads or tails logic that you could possibly go into flipping a coin. So we'll see if coin can make it 3 years in a row of beating me and another year over 500 as he did last year. This first game, Packers-Bears, as always, heads is the favorite, tails is the underdog. We both have the favorite, the Green Bay Packers. The coin has... I knew this was going to happen. It bounced away. Sorry, Jason. It came up tails. Coin has the Bears.
Oh, boy.
We're screwed. We are officially screwed. But that's the fun of coin. You just never know what's going to happen. So now that that silliness is over, we move on to our second highlight game, the second win or go home contest. It's the NFC East title on the line in prime time. It's the Dallas Cowboys for the third year in a row in this spot. This time they're at home hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. And despite being at home, they're the biggest underdog they've been the last 3 years. And, of course, there's a very easy reason for that. It's because Tony Romo will not be playing. It'll be Kyle Orton getting the start for the Dallas Cowboys. And as a result of that, the Eagles at 9-6, a 7-point road favorite at the Dallas Cowboys. Jason, who you got?
I am going to roll with Ortman, as they used to call him on Chicago Sports Talk Radio because they didn't know how to say his name. I'm going to roll with Kyle Ortman and the Dallas Cowboys. Two main reasons. One, Tony Romo won't be there to screw things up. I mean, whether it's fair or not, he has the uncanny ability to just throw gasoline on a fire at the very worst possible time, and that when he won't be there. Kyle Orton's going to be out there just managing the game. But I believe reason number two why I like the Dallas Cowboys is Kyle Orton's going to basically just turn around and hand the ball to DeMarco Murray all game long, which is what the Cowboys should have been doing through all of these rough patches they've been going through. It should have been what they were doing against the Packers. All these other games where it's just like, weird things are happening. They needed this sort of miracle comeback against Washington last week of all teams. I think we're going to see a lot of DeMarco Murray. Kyle Orton's going to throw if he needs to. He's serviceable enough. I mean, he's a 500 career starter in the league. Not a bad thing. He's ripped off some wins. He's had some huge passing games in his career. So he's not mincemeat. He's not, you know, Scott Tolzien or one of these crazy backups that we've seen rolling out there. He's a serviceable backup quarterback. There's a reason why you bring in a guy like Kyle Orton, and it's for reasons just like this. You know, you could say all the same things about like all the like Frank Reichs and Jeff Hostetlers over the year. But Kyle Orton's very similar to guys like that. He's a veteran. You know what you're going to get with him, but you're also probably not going to get like the ridiculously stupid interceptions in the fourth quarter with Kyle Orton. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys here, but not necessarily to win the game.
Oh, I thought you were going all the way with that one.
Not going all the way.
Well, you know what? I'll go all the way. I'll take the Cowboys to win the game. You absolutely did take the reasons that I have the Cowboys to win this game because Tony Romo is not starting. That's the main reason. Tony Romo will not have a chance to screw this up. It'll be Kyle Orton. There won't be any audibling from a run play to a pass by Kyle Orton. I'm fairly confident in saying that. It's not like I'm in the Dallas locker room or the coaches' meetings, but I'm fairly certain Kyle Orton does not have the authority to audible out of a run to DeMarco Murray and throw an ill-advised interception and cost his team the game. I feel very good in saying that. Week 7 of this year, Dallas goes to Philadelphia, holds them to 3 points, 17-3. I believe I had that one. I feel pretty good about picking this one, too. Philly is not the same team as they were at that point in the season, obviously. They've turned it on with Nick Foles and really done some great things with their offense. LeSean McCoy has emerged as a league MVP candidate. There's that end of conversation term that people like to use that we know Peyton Manning's going to win the MVP, but LeSean McCoy and, for that matter, Nick Foles have inserted themselves in the conversation for the MVP award, but that's how good they've been playing lately. But I got a funny feeling that the Dallas Cowboys are going to take this because Romo is not playing. LeSean McCoy running against two terrible run defenses in a row, but I wonder if Chip Kelly is going to outsmart himself. This is his first playoff-type game. I basically consider this a playoff game because it's win or go home. I wonder if Chip Kelly is going to be the one to make some weird calls and try to establish that Nick Foles and his wonderful passing attack is what's going on and what's going to carry the day. I wonder if LeSean McCoy is going to be the one perhaps gesticulating wildly on the sideline, trying to get himself back in the game, trying to get himself the ball. I just have a feeling that you got two coaches, really, between Chip Kelly and Jason Garrett, that both think they're smarter than the average bear. And I get a feeling Chip Kelly might be the one to outsmart himself. Garrett got his toy in Tony Romo taken away from him. I don't think he can outsmart himself. I think he has no choice but to stick with a careful passing plan for Kyle Orton, just to keep moving the sticks and to keep DeMarco Murray fed, should get lots of run, no Romo audibling, nothing going on like that. I got another hunch that DeMarcus Ware is going to make the big play at home Sunday night. Would be a great spot for him to step up and do what he has done so many times in his Dallas career. And I just wanted to also go back and look over this trend of Sunday night division title games in week 17, winner go home. Cincinnati and the Jets, week 17, 2009. This is as far back as my records go. That was not a division title game, but the Jets were 8-7. They had to win that game, as it turned out, in order to make it into the playoffs, in order to win the AFC East. Total fraud, Mark Sanchez at the helm. 10-5 Cincinnati, but they already had their spot locked up, so they had nothing to play for. The Jets a 9.5 point favorite at home with total fraud. Jets 37, Bengals nothing. Jets make the playoffs. And you can go on and on throughout the years, back to the St. Louis-Seattle game that we talked about on last week's show. Dallas, of course, against the Giants a couple years ago, against Washington last year against the rookie RG3. It just doesn't matter. The home team in this Sunday night spot with everything on the line always takes the victory. It's just how it works. It's simple stats. It's not even really a stat, but it's just how it goes. The home team always takes it, and once again, I'm going with the home team. Jason, who's your X factor for this one?
Was yours DeMarcus Ware? Just want to get. Did you have one there?
I have one. I haven't said who it was yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you were hinting that it was DeMarcus Ware. I was going to give you a lot of credit for going way obvious on that one. But it's funny, though, that we're talking about the Dallas defensive line. I, in fact, went back to their last matchup, and I'm jumping to the other side of the defensive line. I'm going with George Selvey. In that 17-3 game, had two sacks of Nick Foles, and I think the only way the Cowboys are going to win this game or keep it close is if they can make Nick Foles uncomfortable, because I think LeSean McCoy is going to get his. But if Chip Kelly does indeed get cute with Nick Foles, and I know DeMarcus Ware is going to be facing double teams, triple teams, quadruple teams, whatever, it's going to free up Selvey on the other side of the line. If he has a couple of big sacks, they could be game changers.
That's a good one. We almost had the same one again. I'm going with Dallas, and I'm going with defense. There's a cornerback that has not played in several weeks that is coming back from injury and is probably going to be sticking Riley Cooper all night. His name is Morris Claiborne, and he needs to step up. He has been a disappointment ever since the Cowboys drafted him last year. He was supposed to be a big lockdown cover corner. He's going to get his starting job immediately right back. Orlando Scandrick goes back to covering the slot, and I wonder if that's even a mistake. I think Scandrick has done a pretty decent job this year, but Claiborne's going to be slid right back into the starting role, and I think he's going to have a huge game in order to keep Philadelphia from going up and down and blowing out possibly the Cowboys. I think if it's an early few touchdowns in the air for Nick Foles, I think it might be over quick, actually. Hopefully will go with us on this one. It's tails again. Coin is going with the underdog And that's the Cowboys this time, so he is going with us. So we'll ride with Coin on that one very proudly.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think we're going to sneak 14 picks into a 4.5-minute period here, so I'm thinking we're going to have some VIP after-show picks. So you're definitely going to want to subscribe to our show. If you're listening live, I'm sorry, because you got 6 minutes of me rambling, talking about the weather. And a little bit of dead air there, because I had no idea if I should get off the line or what was going on. So I'm sensing some VIP after show activity here.
I'm glad you went on. If you got off the air, I think that might have been the end. I saw you still flashing up here your phone number the whole time. It's just I was not there at all. So
it was tempting to get off the line a few times, but every time I looked at my phone, the counter kept going up. So it wasn't like end call ended or any of that. You just went dead, but I could see. Excuse me, I could see. I was still there. It was awkward though, very awkward.
Yeah, that was quite.
Anything about these two games that we might have missed while you were gone there for that nice 6 minute stretch?
I think I covered everything I wanted to talk about for Philly-Dallas. For the Bears-Packers, yeah, it's Lacy and Starks carrying the load. The Bears' secondary is awful as well. It's not just the run defense. You talked about the play action. Yeah, that's going to set up, the horrible safety play for the Bears and the cornerbacks that, usually they got Peanut Tillman out there running around trying to, at least punch the ball out and do something. But he's not even going to be there this time. There's nothing on that Bears defense that would engender any confidence in picking Chicago. And when you go to the other side of the field and you see Jay Cutler, who, boy, he has not gotten off to fast starts. His two games back so far, it's been two very slow starts for him against Cleveland and Philadelphia. And it might very well be another slow start, and that might be all Aaron Rodgers needs is just a little bit of a slow start, a little bit of a head start for him to get comfortable and get Green Bay out in front early and maybe not look back.
Yeah, the one thing that I think Rodgers is going to do, and this might sound strange, but I'll wrap this up. Before Rodgers got hurt, the Packers had gone on a really nice long stretch where they were playing some very solid defense. They were holding teams to very little yardage, very few points. They really were looking like one of the better defensive teams in the league. I remember our shows were talking about that. Like, wow, they're, one point I think they were as high as top 10 in the league in defense, which you weren't expecting from this team. And I think when Rodgers got hurt, they altered their play. I don't think they were as risky or as attacking on the defensive side, and their defense really lagged behind. I fully expect them to be in attack mode because I don't think they're going to have to be worried about playing so perfect on defense because they know they have Rodgers there and more chance to score points than they do with Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien or Matt Flynn. So I actually expect this to bolster their defense as well. I just expect them to come out completely pumped up because they've got their leader back.
Yeah, and one more thing that I failed to realize, I do think that it's one little advantage for the Bears that I've been saying all these years that the Green Bay pass rush is so much less fearsome when roided-up troglodyte is not in there, and roided-up troglodyte will not be in there. Clay Matthews re-injured his thumb. He's not going to be out there to pass rush for the Packers, and I still don't believe in Jay Cutler in this big spot because he just hasn't come through all these times before. So that's going to do it for our live portion, and we get to spend the next 15 minutes trying to run through the rest of the games. If you want to hear that, you can listen to the show in the archives of our show page, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail, or you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We'll see you on the other side. And that brings us into our after-show portion where we now have to fit in picks.
Well, it's awesome, but you know what? It's a rapid-fire segment with the flip of a coin. So we'll just do it the way we do it, and let's see what we have left over for time.
All right, here we go. We now move on to the rest of our picks in even more, less detail.
I'll start off with the Carolina Panthers, a 5.5-point road favorite at those scrappy Falcons. Dre and I will both take the Falcons this week. I think Andre's finally on board with my theory about Atlanta, that they're not good, but they're tough. They're at least showing a little intestinal fortitude, and they're not just laying down. And they're definitely, even though their record's terrible, they're definitely not one of the FedEx mail-it-in teams. Big test for Carolina. Andre needs to see more from them in order to pass the test and win the division. We think Atlanta's going to be game. We're both taking the Falcons. What's the coin say?
Coin doesn't agree. Coin's going with those Panthers. Coin loves the favorite. I have to flip the page to see the other picks. There's Washington and the Giants. There is the Skins as a 3.5-point dog at New York. As bad as New York has played, they're still favored over Kirk Cousins and the Real Housewives of D.C. We don't care. We're rolling with the Skins. Jason says, got to go with Kirk Cousins. He loves that hook, 3.5. Could be a field goal finish. I like Washington straight up. Cousins to Garcon. That's been money. Pierre Garcon, his last two games, 18 catches, 273 yards, 2 touchdowns. I like the Skins to get a win. Coin is going with the favorite. Coin likes the Giants.
Okay. Well, we know it's never good when the coin disagrees with us. I'm glad we only do this in week 17. So I apologize again. If this is somebody's first experience listening to our show, it doesn't always go this bad. We don't have 6 minutes.
What an experience.
Random dead air. And we don't flip coins every week at competition. This is only a week 17 thing, people. Because we're making fun of the fact that week 17 is usually so random and so meaningless. So we play along with it. We don't flip coins all year long, folks. So we do apologize if this is your first experience or probably last experience with our show. Oh, those Houston Texans, 7-point road dog at the Tennessee Titans. Andre, of course, is going with his home state, well, current home state team, and the Tennessee Titans says that Houston has no coach, no quarterback, no running back, and no chance. Makes me feel great because I've got the Texans here to cover the 7. What's the coin say?
You should feel great because the coin agrees with you. The coin is taking the underdog Texans. Baltimore and Cincinnati. We've got a bunch of playoff scenarios that I don't really have time to go back and look through because we only have 15 minutes to get these picks done. But Baltimore is one of those teams that's trying to play for a playoff spot. They need to win and get some help to get in. Baltimore is 6.5-point dog at Cincinnati, and neither one of us have any faith in the Ravens. We think they're going to die one last gasp and peter out and bow out of the playoffs. Cincinnati has been so money at home this year. We're going to take Cincy to cover that number. They're 7-0 at home. Jason says Cincy wants to put down Baltimore like rabid dogs and show them who the real dog is now in the AFC North. 40 points in 4 straight games for Cincinnati at home. That's why I'm going with the Bengals. Coin also likes the Bengals.
Wow. I guess you could say if this Mike Vick was in this game, that would be bad news for the Ravens. That was so uncalled for, I'm sorry. The Indianapolis Colts are a 10.5-point home favorite against, those Jacksonville Jaguars. Guess what? We're both rolling with the Jaguars. Indy is notoriously famous now for, guess what, playing to the level of their competition, and neither one of us like the Colts as a 10.5-point favorite against anybody. What's the coin say?
Unfortunately, the coin likes the Colts, which makes perfect sense.
Of course.
Of course. New York Jets, Miami Dolphins, Jesus Christ, Geno Smith. Jets are a 5.5-point dog in Miami. Miami, of course, with a playoff spot to play for. They need a little help as well. Jets are out of the playoffs, and it's Geno Smith, and they're on the road, and therefore we're both going with the fish. All you need to know, Jesus Christ, Geno Smith. Coin has an opinion on this one. He's going with Geno Smith. Coin likes the Jets.
Oh, no. Oh, but we better steamroll the coin this year. we seriously better kill that coin this year. All right. Pittsburgh Steelers are a 7-point home favorite this week against the Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh is another one of those teams who needs a just whole litany of things to happen lined up perfectly. They're the team that has the hardest path into the playoffs. They need to win, and they need everybody else to lose. That's Baltimore, Miami, and San Diego. They need all three of them to just completely fold up the tent. And Pittsburgh needs to win. Well, guess what? We're both taking the Brown fever, the Cleveland Browns. They have one thing and one thing only that keeps them in games, and that's the deep ball to Josh Gordon, and by God, it's been working. So we're looking for lots of deep balls to Josh Gordon, miracle catches, and no Pittsburgh coverage on that guy, and watch for Cleveland and the Brown fever to finish strong.
Coin likes the steel curtain, Jason. It's going to be one of those years, it looks like. Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, LOL Lions, those LOL Lions, they are out of the playoff hunt. They have completely collapsed. They are a 3-point underdog at the 4-10-1 Vikings. And Jason says, because they're out of the playoffs, because all the pressure is off the Lions, go ahead and take the Lions this week. No pressure. Both coaches will get fired after the game anyway, so it really won't matter. I'm going to take the Vikings in their last game at the Tinker Dome, as Coach Ditka lovingly referred to the Metrodome. I'm taking Minnesota. Even though there's no Adrian Peterson, I still like the Vikings because the Lions are just so fucking pathetic. Coin landed on my table this time, and he's going to go with the Law Lions. He's rolling with you, Jason.
You know, given the history of the coin, I guess that's a good thing if the coin agrees with us in week 17. Is the coin a dime? We have to make it official.
Of course. There's no other coin that could be.
Okay. Yes. This started actually a lot longer before 2001. I remember being when we did these picks live, I remember you reaching up onto your collection of coins that you had on top of your computer table, and you just happened to grab a dime, and it became the official dime of IMLD. And it's not the same dime every year. I hope it's not the same dime every year. Hopefully you don't keep it in a little box, you know, on a little pillow. So it's not the same dime every year, but it's always at least, it's always a dime. Because if it falls off the table, then you can say you dropped the dime, you know.
Oh, jeez.
So the Denver Broncos are an 11-point road favorite this week at Terrell Pryor and the Oakland Raiders. Andre pointed out to me, I was not aware that there's some conspiracy theory going on that Terrell Pryor's agent is throwing it out there that Terrell Pryor is being set up to fail against the Denver Broncos so that the Raiders just have a really flimsy excuse to throw Matt McGloin back out there. Like, really? You need an excuse for either one of these guys? Okay, I'm not buying it. I'm still going to go ahead and take the Raiders to cover the big number. Andre's not buying it. He thinks Peyton Manning's actually got something to play for in a week 17. When was the last time that happened? He's going to take Peyton Manning and the Broncos to roll up the Raiders.
Coin came up tails. It's going with you again. Likes the Oakland Raiders. I really don't feel good about this week. The Patriots have something to play for. They can move up in the AFC playoffs as they host the Buffalo Bills. New England, a 7.5-point favorite, and I actually like Buffalo to win this game. That's how little I still believe in Tom Brady, in that no-name pass core. I just don't like the way that they've set up. I know they had a big game last week against Baltimore, but that just seemed like everything that could go wrong for Baltimore went wrong. Jason says New England is playing for seeding. He's not rolling with Thad Lewis against the New England Patriots. He's going to take New England. Buffalo tries hard, but 7.5, just not enough. See if Coin agrees with Jason again this time. It's Tails. It's the Buffalo Bills once again.
The coin's going dog heavy here this week. That's not an encouraging sign, because the New Orleans Saints are an 11-point home favorite against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dre knows it, sees it with his eyes, and then now he sees it on paper. And we all know this, especially when Mike Glennon is your quarterback. Tampa Bay, statistically, is the worst passing team in the league. Neither one of us are going to roll with Tampa Bay. Don't care how many points are involved here. The Saints are playing for something. The Saints have to win this game. And as bad as they've looked on the road is how good they've looked at home. And I expect a huge day from Drew Brees and the Saints offense. New Orleans squash.
Even a coin thinks Mike Glennon sucks dick. Came up heads. New Orleans all the way, baby. San Fran and Arizona. Pick 'em. Straight up battle between two double-digit victory teams in the NFC West. And it looks like Arizona's got a real good chance to go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. One of those crazy years. We're both going to predict that to happen. We think Arizona is going to beat San Francisco in this game and come up short of the playoffs. Jason says Arizona gets that win. The defense always plays hard. They're going to get after San Francisco. It might even ding up Colin Kaepernick and the Niners a little bit for the playoffs. Niners better watch their ass because Arizona's going to come for them. I completely agree. Arizona's been battling for weeks now, and I also wonder, was Monday night the emotional pinnacle for San Francisco to close down their stadium, Candlestick Park, with that improbable win with the late pick six when they're in their own red zone with a short week after that big win? I wonder if San Fran will even be ready for this one, so I will take the Cardinals as well, see what Coin has to say. Got to go with the home team as heads since there's no favorite, and indeed it comes up heads. Coin is with the Cardinals as well.
The St. Louis Rams are an 11.5-point road dog at Seattle, coming off of their first home loss in over 2 years against those same Arizona Cardinals last week. I'm going to go ahead and take the Seattle Seahawks. I think that they are primed to take out a little revenge after that home loss. I think the fans are going to be rabid. Seattle needs this win to lock up the number one seed. I say they go and they get it. Andre's not so sure. He's going to take all the points. Thinks that Seattle's going to still feel a little bit of a hangover from losing last week, and he still has no faith in Russell Wilson and that Seattle passing game.
Well, once again, Coin's with you. He's going to take Seattle and give those points. And finally, we wrap it up with, I do have the last game, is that correct?
You do.
Kansas City and San Diego.
Your team.
The new New England Patriots, the Chargers, who have a playoff shot if a lot of things go right. But I actually think this is going to be meaningless for both teams. I have Miami winning and Baltimore losing, giving Miami that playoff spot. So by this time, I believe San Diego will be completely useless, and yet they're a 9.5-point favorite against Kansas City, who we know is going to be completely useless because they have no way they can improve their playoff standing. They are the 5 seed no matter what. And even so, I'm still taking San Diego to cover 9.5 because fuck the Chiefs. That's why. Jason's going to take the Chiefs. He doesn't care if it means nothing. It's still Kansas City against that San Diego defense. And he's getting back on the bandwagon because I jumped off, so we know what that means. Does Coin agree with that theory? It sure does. It comes up tails. It's going to take the Chiefs. Of course it will. Ugh. And that will do it. We literally have 15 seconds left. You talk about cutting it close, folks. That was the craziest fucking show we've ever had, and we did it. We still got all the picks in. I have no idea when our next show is, but it'll come up on the schedule on blogtalkradio.com whenever we schedule it. We'll see you then.